So we left off yesterday, we had raised this whole fundamental machlokes rishonim about whether Beis Din has the authority to remove mitzvahs off the radar screen. So we had Tosfos and that Gimel had this big breakthrough. We had Lo kiyamta mitzvah sichah miyamecha mizeh kipshuto. And we pointed out the Ran disagrees, somebody showed before the Ramban disagrees, the Rishonim would disagree with Tosfos. Well, apparently you have the opinion that they don't really have such an authority. At the very end of the shiur yesterday, just, you know, the idea just struck me, and again, I don't know whether it's muchach. It happens to fit in nicely with the Ramban. But there is a machlekes Rishonim about what the koach, what the authority of Beis Din is in the other direction. Namely, can Beis Din almost create Aveiros? If you sort of give the ability for Beis Din to create Isurim, they can create almost like Dvarim Shel Cheftzas that are Asur. Or Beis Din really can change the spiritual universe. Only the Rabbanu Shalom can change the spiritual universe. What Beis Din has the authority to do is to make certain gezeiros, or to make certain mitzvahs, and then we as gavers, we are people supposed to listen to that. We are required to listen to Beis Din. That's the pasuk. Whatever the makaris are for listening to the Chachamim Torah. But in terms of the spiritual reality, that's something only in the domain of the Rabbanu Shalom. So that question that the Rishonim are debating here in terms of mitzvahs, is a machlekes Rishonim l'gabei aveiros. There's no question about it. There's a Rambam we quote at the end of the shiur yesterday. The Rambam writes that the Beis Din HaGadol can create an Issa Chometz. It's not Pesach yet. It's not even Erev Pesach HaPidin. It's only, it's Shoah Shishas. It's 11:35 in the morning Erev Pesach. It's not Asman Chometz. And Beis Din can endow a piece of bread with the property of Chometz to such an extent that once it's called an Issa Chometz, it's called the Dava Sheyesh Bekares, even though there's no Kares right now, but it's called the Issa Sheyesh Bekares. And we can give a guy Mrs. Beis Din for that. Because the Zoch and Mamre is arguing with the Beis Din of God, that we're going to give him Mrs. Beis Din because he's meeting the criteria of Aris. So that's what the Rambam says. The Ramban says he never heard of such a thing. The Ramban says the Beis Din can't do such a thing. They don't have the authority. They don't have the kelim to create an Issa Chometz. They could tell you that you're not allowed to eat this piece of bread. They could tell you, don't eat this pizza, don't eat the lasagna, don't eat the cereal now. But to say that it's called an Issa Chometz for Mechayev Gan Nisa, for Dov Sheish Bekaris, Lo Shemana Dov Zim Yerim, that's the Ramban Taina. So just dawned on me now that the Ramban is Kechol L'Shitasai, because who showed me that Ramban before in the Mechamas? Who showed me? Who showed me the Mechamas Hashem before? Nobody? Somebody showed me. So from Ashir. Maybe someone who was listening on to Shir yesterday, I don't remember. Someone showed me the Mechamas, and the Mechamas, that's Samas and Brachas, that says, like where the Ran is quoting from, that Mechamas says that Kosh L'Omash L'Shad Ram B'Pesach, that's Techavasai. So the Ramban writes that it's Lav Dafka, that Lashon is Lav Dafka. And he says, because, of course, we're Yaitzi Achila, which is what we were saying yesterday, that he's learning that the Ram Gavlil Omer is a Din in the Achila. So you see, the Ramban also was very, very powerful with his Lashon. He didn't get so riled up about the Lashon Leyotzadech of Aso. So the Ramban probably in Hasugi also didn't get so riled up about the Lashon, which would fit in nicely to the theory of the Ramban in general, that the Rabbanim really can't change the spiritual reality. So as I was thinking about this, this wasn't even Shia, I was talking about we're supposed to move back to Arsugya, but I couldn't control myself. I wanted to share one last nakuda about this. But this Shaila about can the Chacham change the reality or not, this is most probably the root of the Machlech Acharonim about the Zinyan of the Yom in terms of Tshuva. If a person does an Aveir the Rabbanim B'Shegeg, whether he has to be chayz b'tshuva now. The Rambam writes in the Yom Chos Tshuva that there's a mitzvah tshuva for all of Eiris, bein b'shegi bein b'meizim. Obviously, the degree of tshuva, the degree of kapar is less for shelgeg, but even in Aveir than b'shegi is a mechayev of tshuva. So the Nesivis, the Baal HaChavizdas, the Baal HaNesivis as a chiddush gadol, he writes that b'med v'mamurim, that a person has to be chayz b'tshuva for Eiris b'shegeg, those are Aveiris deraisa b'shegeg. But Aveiris derabbanan b'shegeg, don't worry about it. You don't even have to be chayiz b'tshuva. You didn't do anything wrong. Not nitfasa. It's not even called the ma'is aver altogether. Why is the Nesivis writing this? Nesivis is writing a perish in chayshe mishpat. Who cares in chayshe mishpat? Whether you assume the rabbanan are called aver, it's not called aver, it's b'shegi. What's the issue? So the Nesivis is commenting on a din that appears in Shulchan Aruch, according to the Rambam, that let's say I sell you by mistake chazer. I sold you a piece of meat, and I made a mistake. It was real in the veil. It wasn't shechted properly. And at the time, you didn't realize. Then you ate the meat. And all of a sudden, then you realize, gevalt geshrigin, it was chazer. So you have a right to come back to take me to a dintar and get your money back. Why? At the end of the day, you ate supper. At the end of the day, you had a good dinner. Tasted pretty good. Maybe tasted better. But it doesn't matter. You still have a right to take me to a dintar. Why? Because you lost something. I mean, I was mazik you. in the end of the day, I charged you money, and I provided you something that was ultimately detrimental to you. So it's true that maybe it tasted good, but look at the terrible hezek that it caused you in the neshama. Now you have to be chayz b'tshuva, you have kippur, you have to klap l'chayt, it's a whole tataram, you have to fast 20 days. Whatever, it's a terrible thing, even though it was all b'shayyeh. So if I'm right, that you have a right to take me to a din Torah, even though the food was ready. But, says the Rambam, let's say I sold you something that was only treif mid-rabbam. I sold you bishalachim, by mistake. So there were kosher eggs, kosher chicken. It was cooked by a goy. It was all a mistake. Nobody meant. I didn't mean to mislead you. And then you ate the eggs, you ate the chicken, and then you realize gevalt, it gets a recall. It was bishalachim. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes to the Rambam, you can't take me to a din Torah. Yeah, because at the end of the day, you ate dinner. So what do you want from me? You can't take me to a din Torah. So the Yeshivas asks, why not? Why can't you take me to a din Torah for the same hazard? The same way we're eating treifus d'oraisa. At the end of the day, I was mafsid you, so you have a right to get your money back because you suffered from the recall. For dinami, you should have a right to get your money back for the bishalachim as well. So the Yeshiva says, no, Yisroel and Rabbanan are different, because in Yisroel and Rabbanan done b'shoigig, it's not even called an avet. You didn't do anything wrong. You don't have to clap achet. You got a good meal. The goy cooked you a good piece of chicken. That was good. You're happy. You had a good meal. I got my money. You got your dinner. And show myself. We part ways. So says the Nesivis, this is a klal in Hilchas Tshuva, that Yisroel and Rabbanan done b'shoigig don't require tshuva. That's how the Nesivis learns pshat at this rabbi. This din in Shulach. This mamshah din cheshe mishpat. This din that would come up as a din Torah between the Baruch and the Kohenah, so the Nesivah says it's predicated on the assumption that Yisroel and Rabbanan b'shayyeh don't require tshuva. So the Meshech Chochma in his Perish in Chumash in Parsha Shoftim tries to explain where this Nesivah is coming from. What's the rationale? What's the lumbus behind this Nesivah? The Meshech Chochma says he thinks the background of the Nesivah is as follows. He says that Yisroel and Rabbanan are not Yisroel Chavtza. There's nothing wrong with the chicken. The only reason why you can't eat the chicken is because by eating the chicken, you're violating the words of the Chachamim. You're being meireid against the Chachmei Torah. You're rebelling. You're showing your lack of respect for the Chachmei Torah. So says the Meshech Chachma, gives a moshul ma'adav v'doyma. Let's say the king makes a decree that nobody's allowed to eat ice cream. And a person goes and eats ice cream. So you know what the Oynish is eating the ice cream? It's Chayav Misa. A person is married by Melech. The Melech makes a gezerah. If the Melech tells you to do an aveira, that you're not going to listen. Koshi Yamar Spicha Yumas, the Pasuk says in Yeshua, Rak Chazak Ama. It says the very end of Perek Aleph in Yeshua says, Ko Vayanos Kainim, the Iberianos Am Lemos Yeshua, Kol Asher Yomru Naaseh, Kosh Isha Yamar Spicha Yumas, Rak Chazak Ve'amats. So the Gemara says in Tanen, Rak is a Loshen Miut. Rak Chazak Ve'amats means that if the Melech tells you to do an aveira, so you don't have to listen to him. But if he tells you, Dover Rishus, there's no great mitzvah to eat ice cream. So he tells you, he doesn't want anyone to get fat. No one should get high cholesterol. No one should, everyone should stop eating ice cream. And a guy decides not to listen, so the person is Chayav Misa. So then Meshech Chochma says, are you going to tell me that ice cream is now also been in Sechefza? That the Melech, he's not such a big time of the Melech. He's not a Beis in Agolim. He has the ability to endow properties on the ice cream with the Nisa Treifas. And let's say on Monday he decides that he can't eat ice cream. Then on Tuesday he decides to pull back. And on Tuesday he says you can't eat waffles. And on Wednesday he says you can eat waffles, get ice cream, but you can't have entrance. And on Thursday he comes out against pizza. So every day pizza becomes a Nisa Chefza and ice cream becomes a Nisa Chefza. And Isuri Chefza begin and they come and they go, oh, sugar, there's a whole new world out there. Says the Meshavah, that's crazy. How can you say such a thing? Obviously, the Melech doesn't have the koyach to make Yisroel Chefza. All the Melech has the authority to do is to make his eiros, to make all kind of funny decrees, and then the Rebbeinu Shlom wants to uphold the authority of the king. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you have to listen to the king. There's nothing wrong with ice cream, you're right. But the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't care about the ice cream. He cares about the authority, the position of the king. So it's not that there's anything per se about the ice cream. The position, that's what matters. You have to respect the position. They say from, I said over, there was a Jewish Prime Minister of England many years ago. There was Benjamin Disraeli. So unfortunately, his family had gone off the derech. I think he was baptized as a young, as a child. So they say that when he was the Prime Minister in the 1800s, right? He was the Prime Minister, so they say he would walk into the House of Commons. Okay, he walked to the House of Commons. And every day, before he would sit down on the chair of the Prime Minister, he would bow down to the chair of the Prime Minister. There's nobody sitting there. Bow down to the chair. What's he doing? He said, I'm bowing down to show the position of prime minister. I'm just a humble regular. I'm a regular guy. I happen to be the person who's sitting on the chair right now, but it's the position of the prime minister that's important. So that's hard enough. No, that's what the Meshkoch was saying also. That what this particular king says, Lamarna, the Rebbe couldn't care less. But the guy doesn't want to eat ice cream, doesn't want to eat waffles, doesn't want to eat pizza, today, ice. And none of that really matters. What really matters is that there's a position of Malchus, and the Rebbe Chachmasai built into the Torah the position of Malchus. And one of the dini of Torah that governs Malchus is Koshi Amrech Spicha Yumas. The way of Malchus is considered to be a terrible aveira. It's Chayim Misa's based. So anyway, getting back to this, not Bezis, Bezis, Chaim Yisrael HaMelech, a different kind of a news. Anyway, getting back to this story. So, with the Meshech Chochma and the Chavis Das are expressing that Yisurim D'Rabbanim B'Shegeg don't warrant Shuvah, that fits in really, really nicely into this theme of those Yisrael who disagree with Taisus, the Ramban, the Ran, those who see that the Chachmei and Torah don't have the ability to. The Meshech Chochma says that just as the Melech can't change the reality, the Beizin can't change the reality either. And that's what the Meshech Chochma says. That's why the parashas of Lo Sosser and Melech are right next to each other. The parasha Shoftim, the Torah gives two parashas, one right after another, of two groups of people, two individuals who can't change reality. You have to listen to them anyway, but they don't really change the spiritual reality. One is the Beizin of Gadol, and the other the Melech. So that whole idea that is expressed by those Rishonim, that the Beis Din can't really change the reality. That's the Chavis Das, and that's the Meshech Chochma, and that's the Ramban, and that's the Ran. And on the other hand, you have a whole other line of reasoning. That's Taisus. Taisus and Dav Gimel and Sukkah says the Beis Din can change reality. They can take what was a Sukkah min HaTorah, and Moshe Rabbeinu's guidebook, handbook, it was a Sukkah. Not a Sukkah anymore, because the Shulchan's outside the Sukkah. But those who disagree with the Chavis Das, with Yosef Engel, has a raya from a Gemara Maseches Chulin. He claims against the Chavis Das. He claims that the Yisurim D'Rabbanan B'Shegeg do require tshuva. Not so partial. The Rambam says that you can be Chayav Zaken Mamre. For an Issa D'Rabbanan, Chazal can make something into an Issa Chometz. So you have, everyone has what to say about this. It is a whole topic. This is just, we have a snip of it in this Tais in Gimel and Aleph, but there's so much more to it. It opens up a whole world about what the realm of Yisurim D'Rabbanan. So I had a pasuk in the Shai Aloch Lamaisa the other day. Someone asked me a shayla in Rosh Hashanah, a shayla, Mamash Aloch Lamaisa, this Chavis Das. They asked me a fashion, a crazy, wild shayla. They told me that on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, they must have been very, very sweaty, and they woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they were so sweaty, like their instinct, they felt so uchi and so, you know, so dirty, they ran into the shower, and all of a sudden, as they're in, they turned on the water in the shower, all of a sudden, oh my goodness, Rosh Hashanah. The Mamash forgot that it was Yantar, and they had turned on the shower. So they felt so terrible about that. So they wanted to know whether they had to be Chayzi B'Tshuva. What did they do? They did such a terrible affair. So first of all, I told them, it's not so posh, it's terrible. Not so posh, you can't be showering. It's a whole shayla about that. So I said to them, even, there's not a time for the shiur about taking showers in Yantar right now, but worst case scenario, it was only Nisad the Rabbanan for multiple reasons. One reason was, it was the second night of Rosh Hashanah. It was only the abundance of second night of Rosh Hashanah. I said, even if it would have been the first night of Rosh Hashanah, they probably wouldn't have been so sweaty. But even if it would have been the first night of Rosh Hashanah, it could be that showering Bizman is that's probably only the Siddur Abbanah. Those remember from Sugi Zman, we talked about this, Masech Shabbos, Tavish of Chomepish Bizman is that. So it's very, very likely that the Yisra, whatever Yisra showering there is with Zmanazen, may very well only be Midr Rabbanan. So I said, alright, this is the Rabbanan. So I said, oh, but it was still this is the Rabbanan. I said, nah, you rely on the Chavis Das. Chavis Das, the Paskin, then this is the Rabbanan, the Bishayi doesn't require Shuva. So it's a fake, whether you have to be Chayz with Shuva. So I forget, we're not even sure that it's also, Machlok is taste in the Ramban, not even sure it's also the Zmanazen shower in Yantif. And even if it's also, that's also, yeah, it could be it's the Rabbanan Bishayi, so we don't have to be Chayz with Shuva. So the person was very, relieved to hear that. And I think you get out of going to the shower. It's not a problem. I guess it was, they were almost like, it was so natural, they just, what was it? Strange things happen.
She does a Rambam. So we said that on one hand, he says that Zaki Mamre can be killed for the Isidore run of Plumets. So yeah. On the other hand, when the Nesiva was explaining the difference between whether you have to pay for the case of Shogig,
So the Meshech Chochma is very interesting. The Meshech Chochma says Hishtichu Torah, and he claims that even with the Rambam, he seems to say even with the Rambam, it's a strange. Right, Reb Chaim, Reb Chonin quotes Reb Chaim, who claimed that Hishtichu Torah is nice, but not the Ramban, who disagrees with the Rambam. So there are two versions of, right. Yeah, according to Meshech Chochma, is working with the assumption everybody agrees in Shtibl Torah that Avad Avad Yisum Darban are only Surah Gavra, even Medas HaRambam, he says it. So yeah, that's strange. If it's only Surah Darban it's the Gavra, how do you become Chayim Zuch Imam? Right. That would be strange. Right? Reb Chaim is quoted by Reb Chodan is saying that he goofas the Kuzum. Reb Chaim claims that that's goof for the Machlokes, the Ram and the Ramban, but Zuch Imam, do we assume the Ramban really become Surah Chetzim?
Some of Reb Chaim say in the case of the Issur Darabanan that you ate, that someone sold you the piece of meat and you ate a Bishogeg. Why does the Rambam make a difference?
That din in Shulchan Aruch is emanating from the Rambam Shita, right? Yeah. Right. According to Reb Chaim, that doesn't fit so well. That din, if I'm not mistaken, is from the Rambam, that doesn't fit. I don't know. Got a little pieces. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, this is just the Shirayim from yesterday's Shira. Just it's hard to hold back. Okay. The Bais says one last part of the sugya now, in terms of the sukkah, the 7x7 sukkah. So again, we know when all the dust settles that we paskin that a sukkah has to be 7x7. So we're going to draw ourselves a little picture of a 7x7 sukkah. I'm not very good at my art right now. I wouldn't even know how to draw like a 3-dimensional sukkah. So, but it's 7 tefachim, okay? 7 tefachim. Now don't forget, how big is a guy? Your average guy? So the average guy is just himself, you know, should be able to fit into an average guy this way is about 6, and you know, whatever, depending on he's a big guy, right? He's a regular guy, a normal guy. So I have I want to just get a sense of what we're talking about over here. So you're talking about 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, and Amma is, give me a ballpark number, let's say Chaznish, the biggest Amma that exists, 2 feet, right? And throw in another tefach, so you're talking about 28 inches, right? Right? Talking about 28 inches. 20 inches is how big? Is less than 2.5 feet, right? So give me a ballpark over here, starting from the edge of my desk. I don't know, let's say. Here maybe, right? Give or take, all right? You may not get the whole view, but this is like, I don't know if anyone can see, but if you look under the desk, this is like extremely uncomfortable. Get a picture, good picture. This is extremely uncomfortable. I mean, it's more comfortable my naps than by my desk than this. This is terrible. How in the world is a guy going to sleep in such a sukkah? So Bishlam is going to eat in such a sukkah. Okay, how in the world is this guy going to sleep in such a sukkah? So L'chayr, what's the answer? The Pashas that Dvarim is that what? Is that he's not going to sleep in such a sukkah. Nobody said he's going to sleep in such a sukkah. We're being done on, is this a kosher sukkah or not? So those activities that can be done in this cramped corner, such as eating you can do. Eating, you stand up, you don't lay down. He's sitting, stand up. It's very, very crowded. He can barely extend his stomach. It's very klutzy. But he's got his one tefach shulchan in there. He'll push himself. So the Pasha Dvarim is he's not going to be able to sleep. You know, he will not be able to sleep in such a sukkah. That's the Pasha Dvarim. So that runs into a big problem because on the 10th, I'm sorry, the 11th of the Ramakrim, make that the 12th of the Ramakrim, the Ramon of the sukkah quotes a famous Mordechai based on a Rav Yoh. But the Mordechai says in the 12th of the Ramakrim is in the Ramon as follows. Hagot. If a person builds a sukkah in a place where he will not be able to eat, will not be able to drink, or will not be able to sleep, why won't he be able to do those things? Because it's mitzayir. It's going to be very, very uncomfortable to sleep in such a place. Oh. Or he's going to build himself a sukkah in a place where he won't be able to sleep in the sukkah. Why? Because he's going to be sittering, he's going to be shaking. Because it's dangerous. He's afraid he's going to get beat up. He's afraid of a ganav in the sukkah. If you were to ask me, I would say, that's a very, very bad idea to do that because every night he's going to come, 11 o'clock at night, time to go to sleep, and the guy's going to say, well, I can't sleep because it's too dangerous. So it's not a good idea to build such a sukkah. But let's say the guy says, fine, no problem. When it comes at nighttime, I'll drive 10 miles. I'll find a better sukkah to sleep in. I'm going to learn Mishmar all night. I'm not going to sleep anyway. But I just want to eat lunch in the sukkah. I don't want to sleep in the sukkah. I want to eat lunch at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not such a dangerous neighborhood. I can eat lunch. It's not a problem. So the Ramah gets very, very weary. The Ramah quotes the Mordechai. You can't even be yaitz in the mitzvah achila in that sukkah. You know why? Even though you're perfectly comfortable eating in that sukkah. The lo havia ke'enira shuchalasa sham kol tzurachov. Boom. So state that the Mordechai in the name of the Rav Yo. You're not yaitz in the sukkah. It's not a kosher sukkah. You know why? Because it's not a sukkah ru'uy l'chol tzachedira. What's the lumdus of this Mordechai? The Mordechai is saying something very, very profound. He's touching on something which we've been almost like dancing around for the last couple of weeks, and we'll hopefully talk about more as we go on. The din of Teishu Ke'en Taduru is fundamentally a din in the mitzvah Sagavra. Teishu Ke'en Taduru, the notion of Dira, is what the Torah expects you and wants and commands you to do in the sukkah. Therefore, Teishu Ke'en Taduru, Dira is a mechayev of the Gavra to do certain activities of Dira. What are those activities of Dira? Eating, drinking, sleeping. The activities that you have to do in the sukkah are basically Dira type of activities. Taduru is also a poter, because built into Taduru also tells me, just as during the rest of the year you live in a certain way and you don't live in a certain way, so that governs when you're exempt from sukkah. So, for example, how do you know mitzvah is potter of sukkah? It's interesting. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of sukkah, "Amar Rav mitzvah potter of sukkah." The Gemara never explains what the source for that din is. So, Tais on the spot says, "I'll tell you why mitzvah is potter of sukkah. Why? Why is mitzvah potter of sukkah? Because you would never live in your house that way. If it was so freezing cold in your house, or a skunk could just spray throughout your entire living room, you'd go somewhere else." So too, if you have Mokum Tsar, you would leave your house, so too you're allowed to leave your sukkah. Or let's say Lemoshel, another tricky din, the Mishnah says, Yorod G'shamim, you're allowed to leave your sukkah. The Gemara never says what the Mokum for that din is. How do you know Yorod G'shamim is potter? Maybe you have to sit and eat in the sukkah, even the pouring rain, third Yechalamai B'shtet, you don't have to. So the Pasha said, Dvarim is that when it rains in the sukkah, that's also, it's another example of Mitzar. There's nothing fundamentally different between the skunk spraying, being very cold, being very hot, and raining. Pasha Dvarim is, these are all expressions of Mitzar, and the whole source of Mitzar is Tosfos writes in the Sechberg of Sukkah, is based on Teishu Ke'en Taduru. So all the dinim that govern sukkah, both in terms of the Chiyuvim and the Pturim, are all emanate from the same word of Teishu Ke'en Taduru, and ultimately speak to the Gavra. What the Mordechai just did is, he just crossed party lines. He just came from the Gavra, and he says, you know what? Teishu Ke'en Taduru is more than that. Teishu Ke'en Taduru is the din in the Chefetz also. It defines what the standards of the Chefetz of Sukkah are, and if you can't meet those criteria of Teishu Ke'en Taduru, then you don't have a sukkah on your hands. Even though you as a Gavra right now are not exempt from Teishu Ke'en Taduru, because right now there's nothing non-dira about what you're doing. There's nothing bizarre about what you're doing. You're eating lunch in a perfectly safe place, but it's a perfectly safe place at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but it's a very dangerous place at 11 o'clock at night. And therefore, this sukkah is not royal l'chol tzarchei dira, and as thus, it falls short. It's not called the makam dira. It's not called the makam dira, so we have a problem. That's a teshuva. It's a chesed of teshuva ke'en taduru. Now, this is not the first time we've seen these party lines being crossed. We've seen other places already in the last few weeks where we've taken the principle of dira, of fundamentally this halacha was said of teishu meeting ke'en taduru, and we've used it, or some tanoim have used it, to disqualify sukkahs based on that. Who did we see? Which tanoim used that idea of teishu ke'en taduru to disqualify sukkahs? Any tanoim subscribes to what sheet in ucha sukkah? What? What you really mean is any tanoim who buys into what principle in ucha sukkah? Of a dira is what? Dira is keva. One of them being Rabbi Danasi, 4x4. Remember we saw there are some Tanaim who said a sukkah has to be a dearest keva. And therefore, if it's more than 4x4, I'm sorry, if it's less than 4x4, it's going to be puzzle. And other potential applications. Some Tanaim said if you have a round sukkah, it's no good. And some Tanaim said you don't have the roof right. It's a lot of dinim in the chefs of the sukkah. And the Gemara said in the Zion, these all emanate, the chefs, these all emanate from dearest keva. Where did dearest keva come from? Who made up the principle of dearest keva? According to the Halakha of Rabbi Yehuda, who made up Bishtei dearest keva? What's the answer? There's only one makom of dearest keva. What is it? Teishu Ke'en Taduru. The only reason why we happen to disagree, why do we not subscribe to dearest keva? Because we hold there are two words that trump that idea of dearest keva. What is that? Shivas Yom, remember Rashi and Dabez. Rashi said, why in the end of the day are we not so worried about Diris Keva? Why do we hold that Sukkah is a Diris Aroi? Because Shivas Yomim Ksiv, Shivas Yomim is Mafkiya, the din of Diris Keva. So when we say that Shivas Yom is Mafkiya, the din of Diris Keva, what does that mean? So how, on the one hand, even we accept Peshma Kein Taduru, so how do we walk that tightrope? On the one hand, we have a din of Teshuva Kein Taduru. On the other hand, we have a din of Shivas Yomim, Aroi. So, what's the answer to that dilemma? How can it be that a sukkah is both? A sukkah is an inner contradiction with a sukkah. On the one hand, it's Teshuva, which means Taduru. On the other hand, Shivas Yomim Ksiv, which means that it's basically just Aroi. Now, how can it be both? How can it be both Taduru and Aroi? What's the answer to that question? So the Pashta Dvarb is that everybody agrees to Teshuva Kein Taduru. We hold that this is just a din in the Gavra, and this is a din ultimately in the determining of the Cheftza. So the Mordechai is not saying that. What's the Mordechai and the Rav Yoh saying? The Mordechai and the Rav Yoh are speaking even with the Don, who say that Teshuva Kein Taduru is an issue on the Cheftza. They're disqualifying a Sukkah that's not Roy to Teshuva Kein Taduru. They're passing a Shah Cheftza of Sukkah based on the principle of Teshuva Kein Taduru. So the Mordechai is saying, even we cross that line. So the Chora, according to the Mordechai, the difference between the two dinim is, it's not Gavra Cheft, so that's not the difference. What is the difference exactly? That we hold Teshuva Kein Taduru is a din in the Cheftza. You have to have a Cheftza of Dira, but the Cheftza of Dira doesn't have to be a Dira's Keva. It has to be a Dira's Arai. We saw in the previous sugya also, still not in the previous, the same sugya. We saw that there are Rishonim who also accept the idea of Dira defining the shear of the sukkah. We saw that about Dira Srucha, about the seventh tefach. We saw that it may be from the first six tefachim. So it's not so posh to say that Taduru has nothing to do with the Cheftza. We also may accept that Taduru defines the Cheftza. We just say it's a different standard of Dira. It's a Dira Saroi that defines the Cheftza. But even we buy into the idea that Dira is not just in the Gavra, it's in the Cheftza. So the Mordechai has a backing, has a very, very solid source for this idea that we could take a Sukkah and say that, well, you can't do everything you want. If you can't eat and drink and sleep in the Sukkah, this is Mishkein Sukkah. So the idea that the Mordechai is taking Taduru to define the Cheftza is not so what? Not so mechudish. We have sources for this. But one could still argue with the Mordechai. One could say that Achil Luchud, B'Shein Luchud. It means, where does it say in the Halach, where does it state in the Gemara, V'Shtei Halach Mar Sinai, that a Sukkah has to be right, L'chol Tzachidira. If you have a Sukkah that's less than 6x6 or less than 7x7, so that's not right to any Dira, so that's not called a Sukkah. But where does it say that each and every sukkah has to be royal l'chol inyan edira? That's the chiddush of the Mordechai. The fact that we cross the party line from Gavra to Cheftza is not so mechudish. The fact that we look at the whole picture of sukkah as one unit and say, it's all or nothing. You know, my kids are little, so one of my kids used to have a problem. We used to call him the all or nothing kid. Because it was always like, it's not much all or nothing. If he didn't get every single thing, nope, I do nothing. All or nothing. So we worked really, really hard to get him out of that. I won't say him or her, but one of the kids, we got him out of that mode of all or nothing. So that's how the Mordechai sounds. It's all or nothing. Either give me a sukkah, I can do everything with it, or I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. There's not a sukkah. It's not a sukkah. So the Chumash Hadeshin has a lot of trouble with this Mordechai. Because comes the Chumash Hadeshin and says, how in the world would the Mordechai understand a 7x7 sukkah? You're going to tell me that a guy is going to comfortably sleep in a 7x7 sukkah? How's that going to happen? I'm not getting on the floor again. But come on, you understand what I mean. A guy's going to crumple up his hands, his feet. He's going to wake up in the morning stiff. His arms hurting. His neck's burning. His disc now is out of place again. Everybody's going to wake up with such a headache and a backache and an arm ache and a footache. Everything's going to hurt him. Who's going to sleep comfortably in a 7x7 sukkah? So l'chora, to sleep in a 7x7 sukkah is nishkin dira. If the only sukkah I have in front of me is a 7x7 sukkah, I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't live in such a house. I go to a motel. I can't sleep in. I would go to a friend's house. I can't sleep in such a place. The only room I have is 7x7 tefachim. So it says it to Mr. Deshen, but the din is that it's a kosher sukkah. We pass in halacha kibishami. Lo tazos be no. We pass in 7x7. We don't need dalal b'dalal hamas. We don't pass in like Rabbi. So how in the world can we be machshir a sukkah that's 7x7 even though l'chaora it's impossible to sleep comfortably in there. L'chaora, what's the conclusion you have to draw? That the Mordechai is not correct. Now, in Achinam, you can't sleep in such a sukkah, but you can still be yotze eating in such a sukkah. So that's what I would have said, and that's what the Tumas Deshin is leading to and heading in that direction, and then he makes it a bow face. He says, no. Zem and Fanda says the Tumas Deshin the following conclusion. What? The what? You see, he's struggling. He has the Mordechai on the one hand, and he's got the physical therapist on the other hand. And what does the Mordechai conclude? He started off by thinking that it's inconceivable to say a guy can sleep comfortably in a 7x7, but the Mordechai said the sukkah's psula otherwise. So what does he say? What? No. What does he say? The transition says, you can sleep comfortably in it. Just cuddle up a little bit more, a little tight. You can. Azoi. Tadin. That's the way it is. The guy screaming, I can't, my back hurts. Ah, come on, the guy's a nut. Of course you can sleep comfortably in it. If you couldn't sleep comfortably in it, then you wouldn't be Yitzchilin either. So the you see the Tumas Deshin was so convinced that the Mordechai is right, he's willing to change what we thought was like a double portion of reality. Kumt the Chacham Tzvi and says, I'm not changing reality, says the Chacham Tzvi. There's no way in the world. Go have 20 guys, go to figure out. Chacham Tzvi was a Rav in, what was he, a Rav in? What?
The Chacham
Tzvi, huh? Oh, that, I didn't even realize such a sheet exists. I couldn't even. Okay, yeah. Chacham Tzvi was a Rav in Amsterdam. Okay? Why was he called Chacham? Because he was an Ashkenazi. He was a Rav of the Sfardim. His name was Tzvi Ashkenazi. So he wanted to make sure everyone remembered he was an Ashkenazi. His last name was Ashkenazi, but he was a Rav of the Sfaradim. So they called him Chacham. So he had the best of all worlds. So who's his son? Yachavim was his son. Yaakov Emden wrote a sefer Sheilas Yavetz. Yaakov Emden ben Tzvi, Rosh HaTevas. He was a Chacham Tzvi son. So the Chacham Tzvi says, I can't believe it, says the Chacham Tzvi. There's no way. How in the world can a guy sleep comfortable in a 7x7? And the Gemara still says that it's kosher. Zeven Fendol, what do you see from here, says the Chacham Tzvi? That the Mordechai is not right. You see from here, the whole Rambam is not right. That a kid, there is no such din. There never was, never is such a din. Each aspect of living in the Sukkah, each one in its own merits. So both the Tumas Deshin and the Chacham Tzvi are bothered with the L'chora, the Rav Yon, the Mordechai, against reality. So the Tumas Deshin, nope, we misunderstood reality. And the Chacham Tzvi says, no, the reality wins, and therefore we have to reject the Mordechai and the Rav Yon. So but the Ramah Lemaisa quotes it. The Ramah does quote this Mordechai. And now, the existence of this Mordechai, at least this Chashash of the Ramah for this Mordechai, this Rav Yoshita, opens up a very, very serious problem for us. In terms of Hilchos Sukkah, a very, very potentially serious issue, serious obstacle to the fulfillment of Sukkah properly. So we spoke a little bit in the past that the Gemara says the Feirish, you have to sleep in the Sukkah. Not even in Shaila, you have to sleep in the Sukkah. I just had this conversation with my little youngest daughter, just 2-3 nights ago. We were talking about sleeping in the Sukkah, and I said something like, you're Mechuyah, everyone's, and I said, she's Mechuyah. I said, everyone's Mechuyah, all men are Mechuyah to sleep in the Sukkah, obligate these things to her. So he says to me, oh, come on, Abba, it's not true. You don't really have to sleep in the Sukkah. I say, no, you really do. It's a din. Of course you have to sleep in the Sukkah. I said, but come on, Abba, it's not true. You know a lot of people don't sleep in the Sukkah. So she was challenging me. The Ramah's challenge. The Ramah raises this question. The Ramah says, what's going on? How come the Gemara is Pemal, you have to sleep in the Sukkah. It's not even a Shaila, not a latest Asafik. It's even more common than eating. Eating, at least you have a cool of Achilas Aroi. For Shaina, there's no Shaina Aroi even. So you're mechuyev in a Torah deep in the Sukkah. Sleeping out of the Sukkah is mamshah, bittul mitzvah deraisa. So what's going on? Says the Ramah. How come a lot of people are not sleeping in the Sukkah? The Ramah writes, only the medachtikim are sleeping in the Sukkah. If you're from, you should sleep in the Sukkah. So the Ramah writes two justifications for people who are lenient about sleeping in the Sukkah. So one justification we spoke about earlier this year. What was the justification? We spoke about Nari. When did we talk about this? Right. So the Ramah quotes this Chiddush Gadol of his, based on Gwan Erechin, that if you can't sleep together with your wife, it's Sukkah Yapotah. It's not Teish we're going to do. Sure, that's it, finish, end of discussion. So Ramah writes, in Eastern Europe and Poland, nobody had room to build Sukkahs. Everyone's stuck in the communal Sukkah in the Chatzot of the Shul in Krakow. It's not Nisnik, so why sleep there? So therefore, everyone's part from sleeping in the Sukkah. Azoi state in the Ramah. So everybody else disagrees. The Gra, the Magen Avraham, every Sfat, you never heard of such a thing. That's not what the Gemara means. The Lahoyot Ram, there's no such din that you have to be able to be with your wife. So a big chiddush that Ramah. So then the Ramah writes to Eidei Shalom, something very, very straightforward. Says the Ramah, it's freezing cold outside. He said, you ever go out in a Krakow in the middle of October? It's freezing cold. So the earliest predictions already, it was already a week before Sukkot, so for whatever the V.A. Shek of weathermen are worth, so first night's supposed to be in the middle of the night, 63 degrees. I don't know whether that's much more comfortable than my house is at night. So the Ramah probably wouldn't apply. But in Krakow, it's probably going to be 30 degrees. So below zero. So comes the Ramah and says, it's freezing cold. What do you want for the guy? The guy's potty from sleeping in the sun. That's the reason why Mishtabah people don't sleep in the sun. So we said, when we quote this Ramah, we said, it's only as true as the facts are. So either Kula the Ramah doesn't apply to a single fellow on a warm night. Then you have nothing to rely on at all. So those are the two official Kulas that the Ramah invokes. But the Ramah writes, even though it's mamish freezing, the Ramah says, but we eat in the sukkah, right? The Ramah with the new Shiloh. The new Shiloh against the Ramah. If it's really so cold that it's impossible to sleep in the sukkah, so basically Krakow and Poland and Eastern Europe are places which are not L'chom Ha'isadira. If they're not L'chom Ha'isadira, why are we bothering eating in the sukkah? We should do away with the mitzvah. Let everybody move to a warmer climate. Everyone should move to the Caribbean. Probably not the best place to be these days. I should move to Eretz Yisrael. Move to go away for Yontif. You can keep 2 days in Yontif. You're then Chutz Laaretz. Chaim Tzvi maybe will help you, but no one else will. So comes the Acharoyim and ask if the Ramah is right that it's cold, so you're potter. So wait a second. That should undo the Achilah. Nobody's potter from Yichin. We make brachas leishib the sukkah. The same guy who walks out, comes home from shul the first night of sukkah. It's freezing cold. He knows he's not going to be here for very long. He knows he's going to sleep inside. He's got his warm blankets already inside the house, and he goes out to the sukkah and makes leishib the sukkah. Brach levatala. What is he eating the sukkah for? Why is he eating the sukkah the next day lunch? It's not royal l'sheina. So what's going on? So what's the difference between the case of the Rav Yehuda de Mordechai, the fellow who built the sukkah in a place where it's dangerous, where there are more paskins like the Mordechai Yitakanat Yitz even Achila, what's the difference between that and the cold sukkah? So the Mishnah Berurah in the 13th of the Maimonides gives two different reasons. Comes the Mishnah Berurah in the 13th of the Maimonides and says, the Ilubim Maimonides, middle of the line, the Ilubim Maimonides HaKarim Yitzi Dechavase Biachila. What's the Mishnah Berurah say? The chisaron that the Ramah, the Mordechai, and the Rav Yehuda were talking about as follows. I could build the sukkah in a safe place, or I could build the sukkah in a dangerous place. I could build it in the backyard behind the house and no one's going to come there. I could put a mamash in my street, in my driveway, which is not such a great neighborhood. And I'm nervous to sleep there, but rightfully so. So comes the Mordechai and says, you could have built the sukkah in a safe place and you dafka built it in an unsafe place? What mishugana builds a house like that? You have a choice to build a house that will protect you at night or won't protect you at night. You're going to put $1 million into building a house that you can't sleep in comfortably. You're going to build a beautiful house to eat lunch in, and you're going to sleep in a locked hotel every night. How mishugana? A crazy guy does that. That's what the Mordechai said. You're going to build the sukkah where you have an option of building it safe and you built it unsafe and then turn around and say, well, I'll sleep somewhere else. That's the chisaron in dira. But what if you live in a bad neighborhood? What if you live in a neighborhood where all the locks in the world still, people still break in? And I go to sleep every night shaky. Every night I'm nervous someone's going to come and hurt me in the middle of the night. But what do you want me to do? This is where I live. This is where I can afford. This is where my job is. I have to sleep. It's not, I have to rough it. I'm very uncomfortable at night, but what am I going to do? It lays brera. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, if you live in a very, very cold place, what are you going to do? What do you want? What would you like the person to do? Go to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't know. He can't afford to go to Eretz Yisrael. What do you want him to do? He can't do anything. So people sometimes build houses that are not up to par. It lays brera. I'm going to build a house anyway, even if I live in a miserable neighborhood, and I'm going to be frightened at night, but I have no choice. So says the Mishnah Berurah, Bidasta Ramah, Bidasta Mordechai, Bidasta Rav Yehuda, the only time we can disqualify a sukkah because it's not royal l'sheina is if you had a realistic option otherwise. But if there was no option otherwise, it's out of your control. So this is your dira, and that's tough. That's all you have. So the vis-a-vis cold, l'chora, vis-a-vis cold, I have no choice. vis-a-vis dangerous. Let's say I live in a dangerous neighborhood, and there's no place I can build a sukkah comfortably. Not in the front, not in the back, not in the roof. There's no place I'm going to be comfortable. So what are you going to do? So build whatever you can, and you won't sleep there because you'll be with star, because you're afraid. It's kochnef, you're not going to sleep there. And you still yotzei achiva. That's not a chisaron of dira. It's only a chisaron of dira when you had an option. You could have built the sukkah on your top porch in a way that could have been safe, and you didn't. Nobody normal builds a house that you only can eat it, you're going to be uncomfortable sleeping. But if you have no choice, you have no choice. That's the first difference between the cold and the danger. Then Mishmura throws in a second. Says Mishmura, "Vagamik Kuron Lishena, Imayla Karmik Sosos Karoy." Says Mishmura, "What do you mean it's cold and you can't sleep there? Why can't you sleep there? Why can't I sleep there? Because it's freezing. So get another blanket. Get long underwear. Get yourself a heater. You could." The emes is, you're not mechuyev to make crazy mamatzim, all out of the world, cheshbeinus, to make yourself sleep in the sukkah. I come outside at night, I'm ready to go to sleep in the sukkah, it's very cold, it's 45 degrees outside. I go under my covers, I throw in another blanket, a third blanket, I'm still cold. In theory, if I went now to the store, I have to go find the store that's open now, so I have to go run to a 24-hour Target, buy a few more blankets, buy a couple of pairs of longer underwear, buy myself a ski mask, buy myself a couple of extra heavy-duty socks, and finally get under my 16 blankets and mattress and sleep in there. In the end of the day, I'll be toasty. It'll be gewaldic. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because the mitzvah of sukkah was given to normal people. If you would find a scenario in your house, let's say I come to my house and all of a sudden the heat's out. The heat's gone. I walk into my house, it's 45 degrees at night. It's 11 o'clock at night, it's 45 degrees at night. I have two options in front of me. Either I knock on the neighbor and say, "Listen, you have a generator, let me sleep in your house." Or I go to Walgreens and I start buying up all the blankets and Target and everything, start redoing my whole bedroom. What would I do? What would a normal person do at that point in time? What would a normal person do? Probably just knock on somebody's door and say, "Let me sleep over." You would leave the house. You wouldn't make all those mamatzim. Therefore, you're not mechuyev. You're not mechuyev to drive yourself crazy. You spend hundreds of dollars to build yourself a warm environment. You have to do whatever is within the realm of normalcy means. You take one blanket, two blankets. Always machlokes between me and my sons. I always take the three blankets. They always take one blanket. So usually I end up stealing, the extra blankets from them. I get very cold. You get older. I know what I'm saying. You get older. Is it true? Is it mamash physically true that as you get older? Yeah, I sleep like I'm, they all make fun of me. I sleep like I'm in the middle of the North Pole, and they sleep like in the Sahara Desert. It's the same sukkah, but that's Zoyishtay. Anyway, so comes Mishabur and says, you're not mechuyev to do all that. But you could do all that. If you would do all that, you would be a sukkah. The Chayyadim writes that mitzvah is potim in a sukkah, and let's say a guy sits in the sukkah in the rain, he's a nikra hedyot. So the Chayyadim writes, you only called the nikra hedyot if you're sitting in the sukkah and b'shas ma'isi your mitzvah. There are two p'turim of mitzvah, says the Chayyadim. You can have mitzvah b'shas ma'isi, and you can have mitzvah to get to that point. Let's say, Moshel, there are more quotes that I come to my sukkah on Yom Tov night, I realize, the Shabbos Friday night, I come to my sukkah Friday night, I realize the candles went out, the lights went out, pitch black in the sukkah. It's impossible for me to eat. I start to eat, I spill the soup on myself, I drop the chicken on myself. I can't eat like a mensch. So what's the din? I'm potter. Mitzvah potter. So what am I going to do? I can't light a fire on Shabbos. No, mitzvah potter. So go into my house and eat. And I feel so bad to miss a meal in the sukkah. What do? I should pack all my stuff together, should have my whole family, three blocks to go to my neighbor to eat in the sukkah. So there are more rights than not mechuyev to do that. You're not mechuyev to leave your house to go find the neighbor's sukkah. If you didn't build the sukkah yourself, then that's not a p'tur. But I built the sukkah, I did it, and then somebody knocked out the Shabbos clock. Somebody turned the Shabbos clock off. So now I find myself in a situation of mitzvah. The Ramah says, you're not mechuyev, it's a big mitzvah to go. It's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah in the dark, and a mitzvah to go walk three blocks carrying your pots and pans and all your food. So you're probably going into your house and finish eating. What if a guy says, I really want to do that extra mile, I want to walk to my friend's house? So the Chayyadim says, if you choose to schlep sich to your friend's house with all your pots and pans and all your food and do that, tovalecha bracha. Because b'shas ma'isa, when you're there, unless your friend doesn't like you, unless he's screaming at you, so you mitzvah, you're feeling cold. But if you're finally there, you weren't mechuyev to do that. But if you did it, so then that's great. That's a wonderful, beautiful thing. So then you're yaitz in the midst of sukkah. That's not a mitzvah who's a fool. You weren't mechuyev to do it, but once you did it, you're chayev. Mashenkin, let's say the guy says, I'm going to rough out and eat in the dark. So the guy's faking himself out. He's saying, oh, I'm really very, very comfortable, as he spills chicken soup all over his pants. No, I'm a geschmack. It's a mix of sukkahs, everything unbelievable. As the kugel starts dripping down his face. He's got his face in the food. His kids are screaming at him. His wife is hysterical. Ich bin samach. It's gewaltig. Everything's a honky dory, right? Right out of the Spiesen movies. Everything's gewaltig. Okay? So the chayyim says, the chamam is a hedgehog. Guys, mamash a fool. That's not the mix of sukkah. So to over here, I'm not mechuyev to go to the store in the middle of the night and buy 16 blankets. But what if I do? What if I want to do it? I want to go and buy the 16 blankets. So tavalecha bracha. So when I finally get under the 16 blankets, are you going to say to me, very, very warm. I'm so warm that now I start overheating. Now I start sweating. I always wake up Sukkot morning in a sweat. Why? Because I always miscalculate just how I think I'm cold. I have 6 blankets. I wake up, I'm soaked from head to toe. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night, I take a shower in Yom Kippur. Terrible things happen. You never know what'll happen. Chumus leitakulas. So Rabbi say, comes to Mishabura with that line and says, Gaval de Gavar, says to Mishabura, a cold suk is Rael Lashena. If you work hard enough, it'll be Rael Lashena. If you work hard enough. You're not mechuv to work hard enough, you could. So that will salvage where you can walk this tightrope. I don't have to sleep in the freezing cold sukkah, and I can still eat supper in the freezing cold sukkah. For the supper, I don't have to be so warm. I'll throw it in a blanket, I'll be fine The poskim write that when you make a leish of a sukkah, you have to be comfortable. Sometimes it's cold. So my wife always makes fun of me. I always run, if it's a little chilly in the sukkah, we run to put a sweater on. Why? Because I don't want to be uncomfortable. I want to be really, really comfortable. The problem is, once I put the sweater on, when you start eating, you have a cup of wine, and then you have a bowl of soup, and then you start to sweat. So usually the sweater comes off. By the next part of it, so everyone makes fun of me. The sweater goes on, goes off. Well, depending on how the body temperature needs a little bit of work on, the your body temperature stable? Homeostasis. Yeah, homeostasis needs a little work on surface. Everything's got to be perfectly in. Okay. So there's a Gevald and Kibishabura. These two coolers are very, very important because this is the limit chus for all Klai Yisrael. Anyone who lives in a cold climate or in an unsafe neighborhood, with malamit chus on them, why they're still eating in the sukkah, with a leishah of sukkah, not sleeping. So this second half of the Mishabura, the second line of the Mishabura, that's still called Royal Lashena, I think is the solution to something that's been bothering me for several years. You know, we spoke about in the past, not this year so much, about we haven't really touched yet on the canvas sukkahs yet, right? Did we talk about it all? A little bit, not so much. But maybe later on we'll talk about it a little bit more. But so the canvas sukkahs you can usually solve, you know, you have love with strings, with mice, all kind of kunzim and games you can figure out. But there's something that's been eating away at me in these canvas sukkahs. You know what it is? This Ramah. This Mordechai. You know why? Because I live in Bergenfeld. And let me just tell you that last week, when I Rosh Hashanah, one of my kids went to throw out the garbage. We're not even talking about the garbage issues on Yom Tov, another story, but one of my kids went to throw out the garbage, and they reported back that there was not one skunk, there were 2 skunks for the garbage. There have been raccoons sighted and skunks, and we got a whole natural habitat, a whole natural geographic going on in our backyard. So Baruch Hashem Yoim Yoim, that the Bli Ayin Hara, our sukkah is a solid sukkah, it's not a canvas sukkah, and it's on the deck, and it goes, you know, mamish, there's no room for a big animal, believe it or that, to get in between the bottom and between the floor and the walls of sukkah. We hope and pray. So for 13 years, we haven't had. However, many other sukkahs in town have canvas sukkahs. Canvas sukkahs have reportedly in the past been infiltrated by different wildlife, including skunks, including raccoons, to the extent that somebody last year, a very close friend of mine last year, was, I think Dr. Berman knew about this, I called you, was actually attacked by a raccoon in the middle of the night, was actually bit by a raccoon, and had to undergo rabies treatment for several weeks. In order to, so I began to think to myself that if I was asked to sleep in a canvas sukkah, I'd be a little shaky about that. Knowing what I know, I'd be a little bit shaky about that. According to the Rabbah, how does that impact on the kashas of the sukkah via achila? Now, I don't want to apostle everybody's sukkah, all the canvas sukkahs, based on that concern. So again, according to Chacham Tzvi, there's nothing to worry. If you don't accept the Ramah, you don't have to worry about it. The Ramah is still the Ramah. So I think that based on this Mishnah Berurah, it's still okay. Why? Because Mishabu gave two reasons, and you get the impression Mishabu is giving two independently acceptable reasons to defend the cold sukkahs. One was, it's Yevshe B'lav Hachi. That far doesn't apply to cameras. What do you mean it's Yevshe B'lav Hachi? Build a wood sukkah, build a fiberglass sukkah. What do you mean it's Yevshe B'lav Hachi? But the second reason I think does. Why? But Medvar Mamurim, that this sukkah is takanat royal l'sheina. You know what's not royal l'sheina? If you know that there are animals running around, you wouldn't sleep in this sukkah. You know where you wouldn't sleep? You wouldn't sleep on an air mattress on the floor. What would you sleep on? If you had a big bed, if you were on the top of a bunk bed, on stilts, 19 and a half amas beneath, where the schach is about 19 and three quarters amas tall, would you have any qualms sleeping in that? I don't think the skunks, the raccoons climb up, am I right? Anyone know about that? They do? They do? Raccoons, they climb up the... But if you put spikes, right? And all it has to be is, you have to create a system. You're going to tell me there's no system that can be created that you would feel comfortable to sleep in? There's got to be.
You could spray it.
You could put what? Right, we put hot sauce around. Did it work? I don't know.
Yeah,
we put hot sauce. We put hot sauce around. They don't like hot sauce. It smells like hot sauce, but that's why the stones don't cut. Now, I think there's got to be some kind of a contraption. I can't believe it.
You could put stuff around.
Yeah. You could have a guy standing there with a BB gun, you know, ready to... You can put it in a box that's less than 10 tefachim tall. You can do it. I think you could do it. So remember, what did the Mishnah Berurah say? It doesn't have to be real. You don't have to do it. You're not mechuyev. Let's say I built myself a canvas sukkah, and all of a sudden I go outside and I realize, oy gevalt, oy oy oy, the only way for me to be yaitzei sukkah now, because I got raccoons and skunks spaziering in my backyard, the only way for me to do is to go build spokes and hot sauce and go hire a 24-hour exterminator to sit there and trap all the animals, all the wildlife. And I'm mechuyev to do that. Because if you had that situation in your house, what would you do? You'd move. You'd go next door. Go to a motel. So you're not mechuyev to do all those crazy things. But if you have the ability to do it, that's enough to label the sukkah as being a royal adira. Now again, I wouldn't recommend building such a sukkah. Why? Because how can you build a sukkah like that? You're not going to sleep in the sukkah. You're basically setting yourself up a situation for not sleeping in the sukkah. Unless you're a type of a guy who what? You're not sleeping in the sukkah anyway. Because you're married. Anyway, you're not sleeping in the sukkah. Anyway, you're too cold. Eh? See, anyway, you're not going to sleep in the sukkah. Or, I didn't build the sukkah. I built my own sukkah. I'm sleeping in my sukkah. It's a machaya, my sukkah. With my 16 sweatshirts. It's a machaya. I was invited to lunch to a guy who's got a canvas sukkah. So I have to be worried that it ain't no royal l'sheina? I don't think so. I think that according to this Mishnah Berurah, we can malam itzchus on the canvas sukkahs that they're still called royal l'sheina. You could do something. It doesn't have to be, you're really going to do it. You know who's going to do these things. As long as there's a chitimtzi to do it. If I'm not mistaken, I think it's a piece of Frank, if I'm not mistaken, quote somebody who says that, what if you live in a place that's dangerous? Which the Rav Yoh said, you know, therefore the sukkah is no good even for Echila. But it's not so it's dangerous that you wouldn't sleep there without a guard. But if you had a guy standing next to you, you would sleep there. So maybe that's like adding on cups. That's like adding on blankets. Means you could. It's all in the world of theory, because we just have to declare that this sukkah is a chefza that's royal adira. So if I could, in any shape or form, make it to some degree of reality, a very, very stretched degree of reality, that it's royal adira, so I could salvage that sukkah, not for the day, I salvage the sukkah for the achila. I don't want to sleep in that sukkah. I have my own comfortable sukkah to sleep in. But to disqualify the sukkah, ain't a royal shena, so I don't think that's true. I think that you could build some kind of a contraption that would make it royal shena. That's the feeling is 19. The raccoons would climb 19 and a half arms tall. They really would?
Climbing in the eighth floor window of somebody might
go. They climb from the floor all the way up.
Yeah.
Those are Manhattan raccoons. They're very, very advanced. When they cross the bridge, they get tired.
Some people sleep in the canvas sukkah also. Is that anything? Like, I sleep in my canvas sukkah.
Where do you live?
What do you mean?
Do you have raccoons?
Yeah. They have no bugs or animals in 5 pounds.
Somebody paid them off to leave. They all went to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's Royal Adira. All right. There you have it. New show. You came and sit and you sleep there. You never got it. Pulliana. Okay, so my whole chesed, I'm just a nervous guy. So.
Some people do it.
Very few.
In fact, that some people do it, it means it's Raya Ladira.
Okay, good. There you have it. It's Raya Ladira. Okay. Haraya, somebody did it. He got bit by a raccoon last year. Is he going to do it again? I don't know. He doesn't live in Bergenfeld. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He came for Yontif to Bergenfeld to get bit by a raccoon. He had to go back to Eretz Yisrael right after Sukkot. He had to go explain to him. He had to remember his whole story. He had to bring all the paperwork from the hospital. Yeah, because he had to go, he had to continue. How long to take the shots? A few weeks. Yeah, what? Yeah, yeah, so he had to go, he had to finish, he had to go get Kupat Cholim to go cover his shots from the raccoon that he got bit in Bergenfeld. And so. Okay, everybody, say, get him back to that story. Okay, so everybody say, this part of Shia was supposed to take about 10 minutes, and then we were supposed to talk about Yom Kippur, but that didn't happen, so we'll try to talk just for a few minutes, a little bit in Yana, a little bit in Yana Diyama. Just before we start, about the... What's tomorrow's